Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this third Sunday after Epiphany will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 10, reading through verse 18. You can remain seated for this reading. It's hard to pay attention when you got people monkeying around up there. Don't make me say your names. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, reading through verse 18. Continuing in Christ's name, as I said. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Caiaphas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know whether or not I have baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you are consistent in and through your word, even if your servants are not. Father, we pray that you would magnify yourself and that you would sanctify us in the truth. For we know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. This is a very powerful letter. And it frustrates me. It frustrates me at times how God just operates. He knows so much. I picked this text on Monday, and I know it might sound like excuses, it might sound like cliches. But God knows what's in store. And see, I'm a pastor. I can't say anything about what's going on in politics. You know, and then it's funny because we're of a non-profit status. And boy, we could lose that. But none of these professors are non-profit. None of these colleges are. None of these schools are, right? It's ridiculous. But I didn't pick this text. And I'm not going to be political. So I actually am being sincere here when I ask that you pray in my behalf. Because my flesh is just frustrated. But some of the foolishness that I see going on in this world. And it's difficult. I honestly didn't want to preach today. And I know it's too human, right? We don't like to hear those things. Oh, pastors are supposed to be perfect and they're supposed to get up there and be all holy and this and that. I'm far from that. The reality of it is that I imagine, and maybe I'm crazy, but I imagine some of you got up one day in your lifetime and said, I just really don't want to go to work today. I don't feel like laying blocks. I don't know if my eyes and my hands are coordinated enough to do some miter cuts. I don't know if I can do one more inspection. I don't know if I can sew one more dress. I don't know what I can do. I don't know if I want to plow another road. I don't know if I want to be an officer of the law today and try to be patient with drunks. I really don't know if I feel like going into Portage today and dealing with arrogant people telling me how bad our hospital is. Have you ever had a day like that? We have them too. And I'm not saying this to be a jerk, and I'm not saying this to be self-loathing. I'm telling you the honest truth. It's not always easy to be positive, encouraging in a world that is so difficult and often death. don't hear. Paul understood it. Paul gets where I'm coming from, and may the Spirit of God encourage me to continue to actually bring forth, as brother laid upon my shoulders, which is the truth. It should always be done to bring forth the gospel and that alone. In this epistle here, Paul encourages the Corinthians to be faithful and to love, to see all that they learn and encouraged by Christ as the true salvation. Christ as salvation. This is something that reason and wisdom cannot even comprehend. Paul had taught the Corinthian Christian faith and freedom from the law. If you read these books, you'll see that. But then these mad individuals, if you could say, mad saints, and I say mad saints because they are part of the body, but they're confused. These mad individuals, and I'm talking crazy mad, came along with their really immature, know-it-all attitude. They really did. They broke up the unity within Corinth. They broke up the unity of the doctrine. They caused division among the believers. One claimed, in reality, to belong to Paul. Another claims to belong to Apollos. Another to Peter. And actually another to Christ. One wanted circumcision. The other did not. Some wanted marriage.
We look through
on one side or the other, and we have a tendency to point out who's the worst. David was far from perfect. Solomon, he had 300 wives. And Jesse, on many construction sites, and probably in this church, had said many lewd things. Maybe you're better than me. Maybe we are. Maybe everybody else there in the whole world is better than me, but it bogs my mind when I try to turn around and point out to one individual. Time for us to grow up. Paul says, grow up. He says, I'm appealing to you, brothers. He says, I'm appealing to you, not by my own ability, not by my own strength. I'm not appealing to you according to the wisdom of men, because we know how sick that is. I'm appealing to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you all agree. All agree. What do you do with this? How do we all agree? First and foremost, in the climate that we're living in, the first thing that we ought to agree on is, this world is not my home. My hope is not laid in any authority of man. My hope is founded in nothing less than Jesus Christ and what? His righteousness. That you all agree, and that there be no division among you. We're going to have different understandings in a lot of different areas, but it should never be under the fundamentals of salvation in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And our heart should not always be tied to only what Jesse wants, but in reality, that we may serve one another. He says that you be united in the same mind and of the same judgment, that you conclude all in Christ. Why do we divide? It's interesting how we divide so much in this day and age. How we, in reality, struggle. We all can stand up very boldly, and I am one of the first to say, we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man could boast. It is a gift of God, but... God what? God what? Paul says, it's been reported to me of Chloe's people. In other words, he probably had a run-in with some of them. They were doing business with each other. And he says that there's quarreling among you. And he brings this out in a way where he says, there's quarreling among you. My brothers. He's showing the unity that they have, that they are founded in Jesus Christ, that they heard this good message, that they were moved by the Spirit, that they most likely came into repentance, that they believed. He's calling them brethren. And he comes across in this fashion. He says, there's quarreling, there's arguing amongst you individuals. He says, and I'm going to bring it to an exacting manner. I'm going to tell you what I heard. He says, what I mean is that each of you is saying they follow so-and-so. Do we do that? Do we turn around oftentimes and do we say, well, I belong to this one, or I belong to that one? We may be able to get our bearings, we may be able to find out who we are in history according to where we belong. We do that with children, don't we? Whose boy are you? Whose girl are you? For recognition. He says, some are turning around and say, I follow Paul. This would make him nauseous. I can imagine that. I would want none to follow me. Follow me. I pray that each and every one of us would be encouraged to point to Christ the Savior. No matter who we're dealing with. No matter what their issues are in life, no matter the struggles that they're going through, whether I agree or disagree with them, that I would always point to Christ, that I would show a better way. That we would actually be encouraged and understand and know that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that one individual will be changed. Not through policies. Not through procedures. Not through edicts. You cannot govern change. We are sadly disappointed if we think you can govern change. If you think I'm crazy, watch the movie Untouchable. Prohibition. That worked well, didn't it? You can't govern change. Where does the true change come from? It comes by the inspiration of the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And I pray the change can come to me. And that it would go to you. And that it would go into this world. I'm trying not to lower my voice too much, even though I want to at times. I'll try to be more gusto. He says, some are saying I follow Paul, some say Apollos, some say Caiaphas. And I follow Christ. And he asks a dynamic question. See, they were all associating. And maybe it was because of their conversion experience, which is very emotional to us. It's a very strong tie for us. I still remember one of the pastors that came out to New England that preached such a powerful message on the understanding of grace in New Ipswich congregation on Gowan Road that I was moved. And I do say that God used that very powerfully in my life to encourage me to seek for more. But I would never lay to that man's charge that he was now the one I followed. He exemplified Christ. They were these that were moved in this motion of saying, well, I follow this one, I follow that one. You can hear it, can't you? You can hear it in the background. We follow the right one. Paul asks a very bold question, looking for a negative answer. Is Christ divided? And if you look at the church of the world and the church as we know it in the religious realm, you think he is. You think he's quite divided. And then he comes across even farther when he's looking for a negative answer. Is Christ divided? The answer is no. Christ is not divided. He is the Savior of the world. And then he goes on even farther. He says, was Paul, was I crucified for you? The answer is quite negative. No. So are we supposed to be pointing people to Paul? Are we to build a religion around Paul? Oh, but we do. See, we have a tendency to build religions around the teachings of certain men. Even Luther himself, which is quite interesting, it says that he in reality would be shocked to know that we name churches after him. He would ask the question, why would you name a church after a bag of worms such as me? Because it wasn't about him. And the aspect of saying Lutheran just brings us to the understanding of saved by grace through faith. It comes more to that understanding. In other words, it gives a description. It's not that we worship Luther. Oh, I'm sure there are those that do. But it gives us more of an understanding. Was Paul crucified for you? Absolutely not. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Lord, I pray you weren't. He says it's not about us. It's not about the messenger. It is about the message. And it is time that we realize that we move forward into this world and understand the circumstances out there are not dictating who we are as a people. Do you know when they do dictate to you who you are? When you swallow the pill of deception. We turn around in this day and age and we try to stand up for rights. We try to do all these other things. The only right you don't have is the one you don't exercise. We, even as Christians, have turned so cowardly, and I am one of the biggest ones. I'm not making fun of you, but we turn around and we say, we're so persecuted in this country, we can't do anything anymore. Because we don't! You can go downtown Hancock here, and you can preach the gospel on those streets, and nobody's going to come and crucify you, or at least put you in prison. I really don't believe they will. But do we? We say that God has left our schools. Is that the truth? I was offended at that when my children are in school. They are Christian children. And they go into a school and they carry the heart of Christ with them. And I know lots of Christian children in these schools. So has God left? We say you can't do anything right in government anymore. Well, then get involved. Be the light. And this is what I'm saying. We turn around all the time and we think that we're being offended at every corner. But do we speak? And do we speak not with hatred, not with violence, but do we speak with love? And do we encourage? Paul wasn't baptized. You weren't baptized into Paul's name. That wasn't an issue. You were baptized into Jesus Christ. And that's what he's bringing forward. And that is the same for each and every one of us. That we would know who we are. We are joined to Christ Jesus. And we are empowered to enter into this world as a positive light, as encouragement, and to stand up for the truth of not my own understanding, my own belief, but as the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. For God so loved. He came. He did not send to condemn. He sent to save. You can find that in your Bible. He said, I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you except for these two individuals, and then he carries on to say, oh yeah, and the household of Stephen. But he's really bringing this out in a way to saying, so not many of you can literally lay claim to me. You can't take your emotional experience and tie it to me. Because my job was not to give you emotional experiences. My job was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for each and every one of you. That's what Paul lays claim to. He's not refuting baptism. He's not belittling it. He's saying, that was not the focus of my ministry. That, in reality, is a gift of God. That is a command of Christ. He said, but he told me to preach. He told me to preach his word above and beyond all circumstances. That's what he's called me to do. I love how he says, and I did not baptize. He says, I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. I love that word, household. Because it encourages me. It doesn't segregate anybody. He baptized the whole household. If you came to my house right now and you said, Jesse, we want you to baptize this whole household, who would it leave out? Nobody. Jakea, then. My little granddaughter. She's there. Baptized the whole household. No age of accountability. Without prejudice, he baptized the household of Stephen. Beyond that, he says, I really don't remember because that wasn't the focus. My focus wasn't to count how many people I won over or what I did. My call was to preach the gospel beyond all other circumstances. Indeed, I admire Paul for this. I admire him for this. I pray that I would have the same gift as a pastor, as a minister of this gospel, that I could look beyond the circumstances, but sometimes it just gets overwhelming. But yet over at Bruce Crossing, and I know it would be true here too, when I feel so down or struggling, I had a gentleman over there who was just a fabulous gentleman who I love very much. And he came one day and he told me, he said, I pray for you every single day. That's a gift. I'm far from perfect. But I do beseech that you would pray for me. Because it'd be dumb for you not to. Why would you want me as your pastor to fail? It doesn't make sense. Well, then let's pray for our leaders too. Because why would we want them to fail? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it's not about division of men. It's not about any manly government saving us. It is about the gospel as a Christian entering into this world, that each and every day when we turn on that sin box, we see it needs it so bad. Yeah, that was sarcasm. But we need it every day. I don't mind calling the television sin box. When you watch the news, there's not much good in it. They don't bring out the positive. I haven't seen too many kidney stones lately. I haven't seen any successful liver transplants being going on. I haven't seen that kind of stuff. I got rid of it a long time ago. Because I didn't go about, that was not my function, to make emotional ties with people, to get them to follow me. He says, Christ did not send me to do this project. He sent me to preach the gospel. Doesn't mean there won't be those who go baptize. We know that. Even Jesus himself has said he didn't baptize. He preached. He shared. He encouraged. He helped. We all have an office. We all have a position. All of us. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. He said, because really, I came here, he said, and I was not perfect with my speech. I did not have it all nailed down. I was not eloquent, Paul says. And actually, he was quite well. But we do get drawn away with lofty people. People that can speak so well. We do, we kind of get lulled away with it. But do we hear the words? You always hear that statement, you know, what he could sell ice cubes to an Eskimo? I don't know if you know this or not. They don't need them. That's the point. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to what they are telling you. Have a discerning ear. Are they preaching the truth? Are they speaking of the forgiveness and the redemption through the finished work of Jesus Christ? Are they saying in reality it is a gift of God? Or are they putting a guilt on you and saying, do this or else? That's legalism. He said, I didn't speak with this way. Otherwise, you wouldn't even see the cross of Christ. You'd be listening to my words. In other words, he said the cross of Christ would be emptied of its power. Not because, in reality, it could be emptied, but because the listener will not hear. They're drawing you away. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those that are perishing. In other words, it doesn't make sense to those that don't believe. It makes no sense. And you can't convince somebody of this. The remedy for that is the preaching of the gospel, that they may know, and that they may hear, that their hearts of stone would be broken. He says, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Really what Paul says here, to those that don't have an understanding, they need to hear that gospel so that they may know. And to us, in reality, that are saved, it is everything. It is everything. So where does that leave us room to leave it? In other words, to wander away from that gospel. It doesn't. So even today, I'm sorry if I sound too worldly. I'm sorry if I find myself going in areas that I shouldn't go. But the reality of it is that it is discouraging when you see masses of people take their eyes off of the central focus and look to other things. Because doggone it, when they're all looking there, I want to look too. What are they looking at?
May we be strong together. And may we see the cross of Calvary. And may we see that empty tomb. That we can look beyond the struggles of this world. That other people would come over to us and say, "What are you looking at? Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away." For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in the word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word. Father, with human hands and human tongues, we definitely chop it up. But we pray, Father, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that you can allow each and every one of us to even glean one glimmer of hope. That, Father, beyond all circumstances, that we would entrust our lives to you, that we would know we are in good care, and, Father, that we would glorify you through our faith and our love, and that we would continue in that life of hope. Father, we ask that you'd be with us as we even take time to enter into this world as Christians, and that we would not be filled with hatred or struggle or defeat, but rather be victorious, that we'd be more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.